All right, church, thank you for checking in. Today's video is going to continue in the series about where we go from here. We are living in a time, in a place where God's word is being thrown to the side daily and in a culture that is turning farther and farther from God. And we need to get serious and we need to start working together to turn the tide here. And there's 100 things going on, of course. But today I want to talk to you about hospitality. I said last week that I would get to it tomorrow, and it's been almost a week since then. I apologize. We've had internet troubles and various things here. But today we're going to look at hospitality. And hospitality, I believe, is going to become a key in the church, the Christian church. If we can do hospitality right and do better at it, I believe we have a real future, a real shot at turning the tide here. This is going to be a foundational issue for our church and for God's people in general. And it always has been. It's an important part of it. In times of persecution, in times of hardship, in times where truth is cast down and trampled in the street, like Isaiah said, God's people need to get better at hospitality. And that is a big word, and it has various connotations to it that you may have here and there. But let's start with this. We need to be a community. The church needs to be a community. The definition of a church is a gathering of believers that support one another. That's what it is. It's not a building, and there's 100 connotations to it of what we do when we gather. But at the core of it, a church is believers who are gathered together. And believers gathered together are God's church. And Jesus says the gates of hell can't stop us if we are gathered together. He says the whole world will know that we are his disciples if we love one another. This is the same kind of idea. We're gathered together. We love one another. This is hospitality. And we live in a time and a place where gathering together, loving one another, even so much as knowing each other's names, has become rare. Do you know, if you drew a circle around your house and found your closest neighbors, south, north, south, east, and west of you, four of your closest neighbors, do you know all their names? Do you know their spouses' names and their children's names? Do you know even know their names? I don't say that as a shameful thing. Maybe you do. Hopefully you do. But we live in a time where that's actually kind of rare, where people simply don't know one another. And even in church, you recognize faces, familiar faces, but we don't all know each other. And this is going to be the core of what makes our church or any church successful, is how well we take care of one another. And so I want to get better at hospitality in our church, and I believe that if we do this, we will start to stand out better and better from the world and be better witnesses to the world. So Romans chapter 12 says this. It's a very simple little verse. He says, well, I'll read a few verses here, starting in verse 10. Romans 12, starting in verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. And he goes on from there. That entire section of verses I just read, I would say, is summed up in the word hospitality. Hospitality doesn't just mean you have people over for dinner. But my goodness, that would be a good starting point, wouldn't it? That's a really kind of obvious starting point. Hospitality does not mean that you have the biggest house on the block and everything is always perfectly organized. And every time people come over, they compliment you on how nice your house looks. That is not the definition of hospitality. That is baggage that has been carried in with the word hospitality. Hospitality at its core means you really genuinely care for one another. And I want to show you something. That verse I just read, that last verse, verse 13, Romans 12, 13, says, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. And the word practicing there for hospitality is interesting because when you think of practicing hospitality, you probably just think being hospitable or doing hospitality kinds of stuff. But it's much more than that. If you look into that word practicing, it's actually the same word, diokos, in Greek, is where it was originally written, for persecuting, hunting down. When Paul, who wrote Romans here, before he was saved, before he met Jesus and gave his life to Christ, he was known for persecuting the church. And it's the same word. It means hunting down relentlessly. And so when you put that in there, the reason the English translations use the word practicing hospitality is because they're trying to get to the point of, hey, you're working on something. If I'm practicing something, I should be working on it. But if we say persecuting hospitality, which is how that word is translated almost every other time in the New Testament, is persecuting, it just doesn't match. So they put practicing in there just to try to help you understand it better. Persecuting hospitality, it sounds bad or something, right? What it really means is hunting down relentlessly and with real zeal. Hunting it down. So when you come to church, if you wanted to persecute hospitality, if you wanted to hunt it down, chase it down relentlessly, you would come to church, look around, and take note of people that you do not know and invite them over for dinner. Or if somehow get to know them. Invite yourself over to their place, whatever. It wouldn't obviously do it in a polite way or something. But our society has become a society of strangers, a society, a nation, a culture of individuals that all do our own thing. And then at periodic times, we encounter one another. And we generally know how to treat one another politely and respectfully, although even that is starting to fail. But we don't know a whole lot about how to love our neighbors, about how to be neighbors, about how to really get to know people and open up and be available. We're just not good at that. And we need to be good at that. This is how Christians got through all the persecution in church history. They always met and gathered and joined together and got to know one another and began to care more and more about one another. And as they do that, Jesus says the world will know that we are his disciples if we love one another. And when the world is out hunting us down and persecuting us, and we, meanwhile, are hunting one another down to love each other, the world will take note and there will be many people come to Christ, because we're going to practice our good works in such a way that they see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 5. So this is another way that we can be a city on a hill, the light of the world. But we have to practice it. We have to be relentless at practicing it. We have to be dedicated to it. You think of Paul persecuting the church and the Pharisees persecuting Jesus, hunting him down, following him around. They would go, when he went city to city, they would go city to city just to hound him. When the Christians began moving out, Paul hunted them down. He got letters to go to Damascus to hunt them down. When Paul does his own missionary journeys, he would get there, he'd have some success, and then people would follow him from the other cities and cast doubts and attack him and persecute him. They hunted him down relentlessly. They did not give up. Or think of it, the word practicing, which most of your translations, instead of persecuting, will say practicing there for that word, because it makes more sense in English. Think of somebody who is dedicated to practicing something. Somebody who's really given their life towards some goal. We call a medical doctor a practice, right? There you have a medical practice. Well, those guys spend something like 15 years in training, just learning how to do it. Or some athlete, they practice every single day their whole lives. Their parents start them at age 2 or something. They put a baseball in their hand. And I tried this with my boys. If you can throw a baseball 90 miles an hour with your right hand, you might get a couple colleges to glance at you. But if you can throw a baseball 90 miles an hour with your left hand, you will go pro and make millions of dollars. So I made a point to try to put baseballs in my boys' left hands as they were very little. They're still kind of little, but it didn't take. And that's fine. But that's an aside. Point being, if you want to practice something and hunt something down and be relentless at it, then you're going to think about it all the time, and you're going to do things all the time to pursue that goal. And according to Romans 12, that thing we ought to be doing, among 100 other things, you should have your skills and your talents and your hobbies, and you should get good at them and do them all for the glory of God with a kind of skill and dedication. But hospitality is one that the church has fallen down on. Look around the church. Next time you're here on a Sunday, or next time you're here at some men's group or women's group or something else, and dropping your children off for youth or something, look around and take note of how, just do a mental survey, do an inventory around the church and say, how many of these people do I know their names? How many people do I know every name in their family? I know that guy, but I forgot his wife's name and I forgot his kid's name. Yeah, how many entire family units do you know all their names? Or I get the two brothers mixed up. I know their names, but I get them confused. How well do you know the people in the church? Because if we are going to go through a time of hardship, which you can see that right around the corner, and where you seem to be rushing headlong in that direction, if we're going to go through a time where the faith is being challenged, where lies are spreading, where basic fundamental truths of who we are, male and female, the image of God, marriage, the image of Christ in the church is what marriage is. If these basic pillars of civilization, of all world history, if these things are going to be under attack and things are going to get wobbly and wiggly and truth has fallen in the streets and justice is corrupt, if we're going to live in a time like that, or if we're going to live in a time where we can see that happening, it hasn't affected everybody directly yet, but you can see it coming. If we're going to live in that time, then we need to know who's together, and we need to pull together, and we need to know one another, care about one another, love one another, and know one another deeply and well. And we need to chase it down, hunt it down relentlessly. Okay, let's get better at this. This is going to be one of the main themes going into 2023 in our church that I'm just going to continue driving our church towards. Don't look at me to do all the hospitality. Don't look at yourself to do it all. Let's be a community that practices hospitality, that hunts it down, and that builds one another up in this way. And I believe this is going to be more effective at making disciples than just going to Bible studies a lot. Our church and most churches are pretty good at that, pretty good at having Bible studies and men's studies and women's studies and youth group studies, and we're very good at that kind of thing. We need to get better at the basic hospitality stuff where you just get to know one another and build one another up in your own kinds of ways and use your skills and your abilities and everything else that you might have to serve the Lord. We need to get better at all these kinds of categories. And as we do that, I believe the Bible studies and those kinds of things will start to really make a lot more sense. It's much better to rub shoulders, just do life together. And that's really where the Bible starts to come to life and start to be applied easier and see it through than a bunch of strangers sitting around a room talking about the Bible or the pastor standing up teaching the Bible for an hour on Sundays. And then, I mean, these are all valuable things. I'm not going to stop doing them. We're always going to promote Bible studies. We're always going to do that. But I do believe that simply having one another over in your home and connecting together on a personal level, I believe that is what is going to hold our church together, and that is going to build the culture of the future. And since our culture is being torn down, it's time to start laying a new foundation, the foundation of just getting to know one another. So practice hospitality. Look around church, do an inventory, see how many people whose names you know, how many you don't know, and see if you can learn someone's name next time you're in a gathering of believers. Next time you're together with a group of believers, learn someone's name, see if they can learn yours. I mean, don't be awkward about it. Don't make them repeat your name, but learn their name. Connect with them. Get one of our church directories that has people's names, numbers, and addresses, and meet a person, find their phone number, and call them or text them later that next Sunday or late during the week and say, hey, I'm so-and-so. I met you Sunday. Nice to meet you. Just wanted to say hi. God bless. A friendly little text like that is all you need to do. And that is a starting point of hunting down hospitality and getting better at it. We're going to need more of this. Our children need more of it. They need to be growing up in with peers who are believers, whose parents are connected and close. You want to know who your kids are hanging out with, right? You want to know who their parents are. Everything else. Let's get really good at this. Let's build up a community that really cares about one another, knows each other. When the time comes, we can look after one another's needs. If we're blessed and we don't have a lot of needs or a couple people in church don't have needs, but you're building greater relationships. Your children are growing up with better friendships, healthy ones. This will never hurt anything, and it will always help. All right, God bless you. We will continue into this series, Where Do We Go From Here, in the next video. And we've talked about education, we've talked about work, the Protestant work ethic, loving your neighbor with your job, and we've talked about hospitality. And I want to continue building on these themes and figuring out how we can be a true city on a hill. All right, God bless you. We'll get into that next time.